In 2009, Lisa Hallett's life was ripped apart. She was at a military family meeting at Joint Base Lewis-McChord when she felt a tap on her shoulder. She remembers a long walk across a parade field and two men in green suits.
The gentleman on the right, he had a white piece of paper and he read it. And he reads, "The Secretary of Defense regrets to inform you that your husband, Captain John L. Hallett, is believed to have perished in the fires." And I stopped listening. And so many words in there, you can't erase. Perished, fires. But the most important word was believed.
Lisa Hallett held on to that word, believed, for as long as she could. But she couldn't escape the reality. Her husband had been killed in Afghanistan, and she had been left with a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a newborn baby that her husband would never meet. Hallett had to find a space where she could grieve without being consumed by her grief. She found that space in running. And she told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel why running was the right way for her to process her loss.
"My children have made this immense sacrifice, and they have lost their father to war. And it is not fair for them to lose their mother to grief. And John didn't die so that we can be the ghosts, right? We just got to celebrate life. But I still need that space to remember John. And I still need that space to celebrate his life. And I still need that space to share his stories and to hear his stories. And running is the framework. I can live this life moving forward and building a new life that is inspired by who John was and what we built as a family. And the run gives me the space to feel comfortable and confident in that process so that I can remember, I can be inspired, and I can let those daydreams of the past not be something that breaks my heart, but like feeds me."
What did that look like when you finally found that space for yourself to be able to come to terms with this loss, as you said?
I would take the first few miles and I'm just trying to escape the day-to-day chaos of 3 young children. So the first mile is, oh my God, the babies didn't stop crying for the last hour and a half. And then the second mile is, oh, I need to buy diapers. What am I going to make for dinner? There's baby food stuck in the carpet. What am I going to do? And then you keep moving on. But then 3 and 4 and mile 5, all of a sudden, the busyness and the high energy of that day-to-day life with young children, it starts to quiet down. And then maybe mile 5, it's just quiet. There's nothing. And then mile 6, it's, oh, my husband died. And that raw candor with myself, and that's forcing me to face and understand that John doesn't get to come home. We don't get our best friend back, our father, my husband. It was a new, hollow feeling, and I was so afraid that I would never know joy again. But then processing that for a few miles, just being vulnerable and broken for a little bit. But what's so fantastic about a run is that you have the space to hit that brokenness, but then to rally and then continue to move forward. So then mile 6 and 7s, it's that deep breath. Okay, I've already accomplished 6 miles. What am I already accomplishing in my real life day to day? And understanding, I can do this. It's not what I wanted. It's not going to look pretty, but I can do this. And then keep moving forward. And then by the end of the run, I'm feeling stronger, a little tougher, a little bit fiercer, and just confident that I can raise my children and that I can live a life that was worth John's sacrifice.
Well, and as part of this discovery, what running did for you, what it gave you, you started a whole organization around it. It's called Wear Blue, Run to Remember. Why did you start that organization?
In the year John deployed, 41 soldiers were killed in combat. And on the home soil, we had a community of spouses and families that were grieving. They were grieving the loss. They were fearful of what was to come and how their families would be impacted. And it was a very overwhelming time. And several women in the unit, Erin O'Connor, Alice Pope, recognized the power of running. And Erin and myself really felt this need to gather the community together. And we recognized that we needed something healthy, right? If it's pooling our spirits and giving us the strength that we need, how can we take this activity and pair it with what the gift of community can give and create a support network that can help our families? And it was never this grand plan to make something magnificent. It was born of a deep desire to survive a really difficult situation. And we met for the first time in a Burger King parking lot, kind of looked at each other, and then we ran around the airfield. But then it continued. We showed up again the next Saturday, and this time we called out the names of those men who we had lost. And then we ran around the airfield again. And sometimes there were three of us looking at each other, and sometimes there were 15 of us. But slowly, as we met every week, our steps really became transformative in how we dealt with the deployment. It gave us a new avenue to deal with these hardships and all that grief and frustration and confusion that we were feeling. It gave us a place to remember, and it gave us the strength to recognize that we weren't facing this alone. I think everything's scarier when you think you're doing it all by yourself, but then you realize that you really have a family and a community to carry you on your steps forward that's also trying to figure out how to navigate this deployment.
This started as three of you meeting in a Burger King parking lot and going for runs together, but there are now people around the country who come together. They call out the names of the people they lost, and then they run together. What do people who are now involved with this organization you started, what do they tell you about how running helps them?
I have been astounded by the stories that I've heard in Wear Blue from men and women who faced their own losses and chosen to move forward in a healthy and life-affirming way. But I love thinking about a couple in Georgia who didn't have words after a difficult deployment, didn't know how to reintegrate, and found that in the steps of a run, they were able to literally and figuratively start to find the common ground to build their lives back together after a difficult deployment and learning how to come back together as a family.
Lisa, we've talked so much about what your life looked like and what you thought it would be in 2009, and then what it looks like and what it is today. How do you think the you of today is different from the you of 2009?
I think about that a lot. How would my life be different if John hadn't died? And it would be very different. But I hope that I am different now, in that I am less vanilla, more rocky road. You know, when I was married to John, I wanted 2.2 kids and a white picket fence, and I wanted things to be real, clean, and safe, and expected, and that is not life, and it's never going to be life. And so I think that the me of today, I hope, understands that it's not the changes that affect us, it's how we face those changes and how we deal with them and how we envelop resilience in our day-to-day life that's going to empower us to be more successful. And I think that these past 6.5 years have given me the gift of perspective and resilience and, I guess, self-love to understand that it's not going to be 2.2 kids in a white picket fence, and that's okay, and that I'm more rocky road, I'm a little bit grittier, but I think that makes me more interesting and more poised to be a person who can change my community, my family, maybe the world.
That's Lisa Hallett. Her husband was killed in Afghanistan in 2009. She turned to running to help her grieve and co-founded Wear Blue Run to Remember. That organization's now got 15,000 members across the country, and you can find out more about it and how you might get involved at KUOW.org.